This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared create collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. So my next interview is with Fabienne Collat. She is the queen of festivals. Check her out online. There is a lot of information about her as a agent of change and somebody who is just deeply engaged and passionately committed to making a difference in the world. As she would say, she's working towards figuring out how to live better together. And we talked about the Toronto Black Film Festival, torontoblackfilm.com. Check it out. It's going to be in Toronto February 15th to February 19th. Great films, industry workshops, lectures and talks. You'll definitely want to check it out. But we also talked about fear and about racism and about the little things and about getting involved and how to actually share something together with the goal of, you know, basically understanding others. We touch on a lot of things. You'll hear a little bit about her story. I'm so hoping we're going to be able to do a part two together down the road. Fabienne Collat coming right up. DavidPeckLive.com for more information about my own podcasting and writing and speaking, and also Rabble.ca. You'll find some other pretty interesting interviews there as well. So stay tuned. Fabienne Collat coming right up.
Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a very special guest today. Real treat. An upcoming festival next week starting in Toronto. We've got the director, we've got the founder, Fabienne Collat is here with us today to talk about, frankly, I think a little bit about everything. Fabienne, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you, David, for the invitation.
So you're an artist, you're a philanthropist, you're a producer, you're an actor, but your website calls you the Queen of Festivals. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
My goodness. I mean, I don't know. I just discovered that this is the name by which I go, according to the critics and everybody. And then, quite honestly, I think it's very nice. So I just embrace it. Maybe it's because we do at the Fabienne Collat Foundation, which is the nonprofit organization created the Toronto Black Film Festival, the Montreal Black Film Festival. Maybe it's because we created 7 festivals.
Wow.
Overall, 3 in Montreal, 1 in Toronto, 1 in Halifax, 1 in Haiti, Port-au-Prince, Haiti,
wow.
And also 1 in New York City. So I guess it's because of that I kind of won the title Queen of Festival.
You got the title whether you wanted it or not, Fabienne, I think. Yeah.
It seems like it. Yeah.
Well, it seems pretty darn appropriate to me. So tell me about the festival next week, too. February 15th to the 19th, Louis Gossett Jr. is going to be your special guest of honor. He's speaking, I understand. Tell us about the Toronto Black Film Festival and why we should be there.
Oh, my goodness. This is the necessary festival in because, oh yes, 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 because this is a festival that definitely showcases values, fosters diversity on screen, and we celebrate that as well. We gave the audience a chance to see films that otherwise would not have made it to Toronto at all, because most of the films we have, we will have 40 films from 20 countries, so most of them are international premieres,
nice.
Or Canadian premieres, or world premieres, or even Toronto premieres, or Ontario premieres. So that means that's the first time they're going to be coming to Toronto, and a lot of them, or most of them, will not come out in theaters after all. So this is a unique chance for Torontonians to just come and dive into those films and then tour the world with us. And it's a chance
nice.
For us all to be inspired, enlightened, and educated, and empowered, you know? So this is what the Toronto Black Film Festival is about.
You know, I want to ask you how you define diversity, but you kind of just did, in a way, didn't you? I mean, but, we're going to, you're going to tour the world with us. I'm actually getting goosebumps.
Oh, wow.
Isn't,
thank
I mean,
you, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Exactly
you're
what we're going to try to do. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're stepping into other people's lives, right? You're stepping into other people's stories. And I think, I mean, maybe... Is that part of the reason, Fabian, you think that you've found yourself attracted to this idea of festivals and giving people this opportunity?
I think so. I like the side. You know, festivals for me are so powerful because it's a way for people to celebrate, to get together and to celebrate, to share something. You know, at the same time, we watch the same films, we listen to the same speakers, and then we're moved the same way. And for me, only festivals can do that. So that's why we take a lot of energy and time and resources that we pour into those festivals so we can definitely impact more people's lives. But also, we really affect the way people see the world because by seeing those films, by discovering those stories, you discover other things. You get to know things that are not in your everyday history books, you know?
Absolutely.
So it opens up your eyes. It's really eye-opening. And when you finish, like after 1 week of the festival, like of watching films and stuff, you come out changed. You're different because you're more educated, more inspired, and then you understand things better.
And do you find, I mean, you're preaching to the converted, I'm with you 100%, but do you find that film really does change lives? Do you think that it has that ability to, you know, is it a lofty claim or is it something it sounds like you've personally experienced that kind of change. I know
absolutely.
I have. But,
absolutely. I as a filmmaker and an actress and producer as well, I totally believe that film can definitely change lives. Not only lives of people watching those films, because you definitely discover the world differently with new eyes, with new perspective. You become more open-minded. That allow us also to live better together, because the more I understand you and you understand me, you get to know me, we get to know each other better, the more we will live better together, the more love we will have, because we're not afraid anymore to each other, because, wow, I just understand her story, I just understand her point of view, where she comes from, why she's acting that way. So I think films has that power, but at the same time, I believe a film also change the lives of the people being showcased in the story. Because a lot of people have received opportunities or have had help simply because there's a documentary that revealed such a crisis happening somewhere in the world, and then some people took action and then decided to go and help this community. So that community, you know, so I believe film can travel very far and can reach so many people in ways that nothing else can.
Do you think, do you feel, and maybe this is a really silly question in a way, but do you feel that the timing of the festival and some of the films that you've chosen is almost, you referred to it as a necessary film festival. I love that. Is there something that's, I don't know, really driving this sense of, concern for others. This, you talked a little bit about fear. You know, what's not too far. You know, you don't have to read too much of the news to know that things seem a little crazy today, with what's going on with respect to what happened in Quebec and what's going on south of the border, what's happening in the Middle East, and so on. It seems like these kinds of stories really, not only do they matter, like you said, they're essential.
I do believe festivals like the Toronto Black Film Festival are more relevant than ever, because we need those kind of space and, you know, and events and platforms to think together and then dream together and then to get hope again and then to share common realities and concerns, and then to talk and then to get to meet, you know. Mm-hmm. What I like with this festival, we have both black and non-black people in the audience, and this is just great. And for me, that's diversity right there. And the second thing also is our filmmakers, some are black and some are non-black.
Right.
And I love the idea of having somebody that is not even black and then that is that did a black film. I mean,
right.
A film on black realities. I mean, for me, this is awesome. This is great. And each time I hear that, you know, because when we choose those films, we don't know about the director's skin color.
Sure.
Unless the director is very known, but we just base our judgment on the quality of the film, its content, and then its power and everything else. And then by researching after we accepted the film or whatever, and then we discover, oh my God, by the way, this director is Asian. Wow. Oh, fantastic. So I cannot wait to hear his story and why he decided to do a film that is so far from his own reality. But after all, you know what? We're all part of the same race, the human race.
Nice.
We have different skin shade. We have different experience. And unfortunately, our skin shade sometimes influences the way others perceive us or treat us. This is unfortunate. But I believe, after all, we are part of the same race. And this is the message, the key message that we try to convey in the festival, and this is why the festival is more relevant than ever, especially today, like when we see all that is going on, all the fear and everything else.
I'm fascinated by your story. I really am. The queen of festivals is just scratching the surface. I'd love to see your business card, by the way. You must have quite a list of things on there that you do. Tell me, what drew you in to all of this? Why did you want to act? Why did you want to produce? What, you know, clearly you want to change the world and are doing a damn good job of it. So tell.
My goodness, David, this is great. You're making me, that's going to be my great day. You're making my day.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's great. It's I don't think that's a stretch, Fabian. I mean, it's cuz I think you're providing this kind of an opportunity. You're creating a community, it seems to me.
Well, we're trying. But you know, David, I got to say, I wish I could take like the full credit, but I cannot, because also I have a great, amazing team, working
nice.
At my side, and I believe they are the best team a festival can hope for, and without them, there would be no festival, there would be no nothing like this, you know, so I have to really give them some credit here, but yes, I really wanted to change the world, and that's why I came here, to make a difference and to help, you know. And I believe to change the world or to make a difference, you don't have to do great things, you know. You just have to do certain little steps, you know, certain little things. And
nice.
As Martin Luther King III said, because he was our guest, 2 years ago in Montreal at the Montreal Black Film Festival.
Nice.
And he said, as his father would say, that if you cannot change the world, well, change your country. If you cannot change your country, you know, do something impactful for your communities, you know, for your community or for your city or for your block or for your school or at work, you know, anything good that you can do that can have an impact will definitely contribute to change the world. Because can you just imagine if we were like 7 billion people trying to make an impact and something positive at the same time.
Exactly.
Wow.
I know.
So we cannot underestimate the effort of anybody.
Oh, man.
Yes, we're changing the world one film at a time.
It's so great. You know, just the notion of underestimating our own influence. I mean, can you imagine is right. You know, the tidal wave of change, the tidal wave, you know, for growth and for, you know, eradicating fear and
definitely,
extreme poverty
definitely.
And all of
definitely.
These things, you know. It's
I believe fear and racism and those kind of things, they reinforce a poverty everywhere because the more you have fear, the more you have prejudice and racism and everything like this, the less you tend to hire people that are different from you, that worship different from you, than you, that look different, that you know, that have different sexual orientation or whatever else. So the more you perpetrate, you know, this idea of poverty and exclusion and discrimination and everything else, so the less we grow as a nation you know, as a race, you know. When I say race, I include everybody.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So I can hear that. I wish we were doing this interview face-to-face. I would love to be able to see your smile and so on. But you clearly have this tone of hope in your voice. Do you get out of bed every day just saying, you know what, the world is an amazing place to live in, and I'm going to make it a little bit better? is that how you face the day, or is that a little bit too lofty?
You know, David, my story hasn't been always like that. I gotta say, in a nutshell, because I know we don't have a lot of
time. We don't have a ton of time, yeah.
But I gotta say, I came to Montreal from Haiti, where I was a very, very popular actress there. I just won an award and everything. And I know you might be familiar with my story, but maybe some of your people...
No, please, please go. We've got a few more minutes.
Yeah. And so I came to Montreal with a VHS copy of one film that we just did. I was the main actress in that film. It's called Barricade. It's a Haitian film. At the time, that was our Titanic. That was the biggest, better, best film, Haitian film ever. And that was... That had a social message in it, and so it was very important for me to leave my country, my home country, and then coming to Canada and say to everybody in Haiti that we will be screening that film in Canada. And when I got to Montreal, no festival would accept the film. Nobody wanted to screen the film, let alone that we would get it out in theaters.
Right.
Today, with retrospect, I can say it was very far from being a Titanic. It's a small little film, you know, low budget. However, after this humiliation, because for me that was a humiliation to don't find any way to speak, not having a voice, not having a platform and everything. And in that day, I was so sad and felt humiliated and powerless. So I said, you know what? Montreal deserves another festival. We need more platform for people like me, even though I was the most popular Haitian actress. I couldn't even have a voice. Imagine people that are unknown and in no background at all, but that just had a film. How are they going to do that? And then this is how we created the Fabian Colas Foundation, and then to put together the first Montreal Haitian Film Festival at the time, which became the Montreal Black Film Festival. And today it's the biggest, Canada's biggest black film festival. And then we paid tribute to Harry Belafonte and welcomed him, and Spike Lee and Danny Glover and people from Africa, from the Caribbean and everywhere. Not to brag, but to tell you I'm coming.
No, for sure, the influence,
I'm coming,
right?
A place that was so dark.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, that's, I think, what's so incredible about your story. And you can really hear the passion and the commitment and your intention and your voice and your tone. I mean, it's wonderful. It's encouraging. It's something to be celebrated. And I hope we can do another interview down the road, Fabian. I've really appreciated the time with you today. So can you tell us a little bit, February 15th to 19th, Toronto Black Film Festival, torontoblackfilm.com. And I'm just going to give you a little plug here as well. It's fabiancolas.com, F-A-B-I-E-N-N. ECOLAS.com to learn more about Fabian's story. Tell people where they can buy tickets and why they should come.
They should come because this is their festival. This is a festival that is there to showcase the city as well, to prove that Toronto is the city of festival.
Nice.
And Toronto is the most diverse city in Canada, so we need to make a strong showing. We're going to have filmmakers coming from all over the world attending the festival, so I want Torontonian to help me welcome them and then to see how Torontonian welcome people. This is important. And then mostly, I want Torontonian to come and dive into those films because they will come out changed and entertained and inspired and educated. And celebrating Black History Month is all about that too. So this is why we're doing this festival. And we start with a wonderful, powerful film called Tell Them We Are Rising. It's a story about historically black colleges and universities, by Stanley Nelson, Emmy Award winner Stanley Nelson. He brought us last year the Black Panther film, so we will come back. We're paying tribute to Lou Gossett Jr. on February 18. My goodness, this is a total honor. He's an Oscar winner. He's a legend. Last time I saw him, he was being interviewed by Oprah Winfrey.
Nice.
And here we are in Toronto. We will be here. You will be talking to us, answering our questions. So I believe Torontonians should definitely grab their tickets and see him. And then we have a fantastic closing film as well called, it's a South African film called The Lucky Special. And it's not to be missed. And we have masterclasses, workshops, and a lot of them are free.
Wow.
Because we believe that everything, you know, we have to give access more and more, especially to young students of films and everything. So we have some free workshops and masterclasses. We have our own Canadian Jennifer Holness and Sud Sutherland that will also host a masterclass for people that want to take the leap, that want to know how to get there. They are award-winning writers, directors, and producers. So come and, you know, listen and learn from the best. I believe in life you need a blueprint. You know, you need a roadmap, and then so those people are giving you the roadmap.
Nice.
So if you're
Fantastic.
Serious about filmmaking, you need to come for that masterclass with Jennifer Holness and Sutherland. And everything else, as you said, is on torontoblackfilm.com. And I believe there you will not only see the trailers, all the films, and the schedule, but you can do something wonderful that is called you can buy your tickets and passes.
So everyone has now been told, pick up your tickets, torontoblackfilm.com. Fabian, what a pleasure to meet you. Honestly, I look forward to seeing, I hope to get out to see at least one film. One of the highlights for me at the Toronto International Film Festival this year was I Am Not Your Negro by Raoul Peck, and just knocked my socks off. And so I'm looking forward to this, and I wish you well with this. And again, thank you for your insight and for your passion, your commitment, and for all that you do. Fabian Collat here with us today on Face to Face. Thanks so much for your time, Fabian.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for this great interview, David. I felt we were close together. Like
Me
the
too.
Same, you know, around the same table. I didn't feel we were like over the phone. So I can't wait to see you so we can share a film together during the festival. So we'll be waiting for everybody.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.